But it was expressed and it was spread in a text, in a body of texts. So even in its most esoteric and personal form, Tibetan Buddhism is devoted to texts. It's a strongly textual tradition. And these are not just old texts that come from the time of the Buddha, but texts that are generated by authoritative figures who manifest themselves from time to time, just bubble up from time to time in the history of Tibet. So you could say that Tibetan Buddhists have a canon of scripture. They do. It's big and quite widely disseminated. It was settled in the 13th century, and it contains within it what you might call the authoritative Tibetan definition of the teaching that came to Tibet from India. But in a broader sense, the Buddhist canon in Tibet, you would have to say, I think, still remains open, because new texts can be generated or discovered to respond to all sorts of new situations and then promulgated as the basis of authority in different sectarian movements. So there is in Tibetan Buddhism something like a scriptural impulse, a textual impulse, that, of course, reveres ancient texts, copies them and passes them on in all the ways that it happens in a Buddhist culture, but also tries to find textual material, as it were, that can respond in a distinctive way to the issues that we face or that Tibetans faced in a new historical situation. Now, the Nyingma tradition that's represented here by Jigme Lingpa has come to North America. You can encounter it here in various Tibetan communities. And interestingly enough, I think it's quite popular among scholars who study the tradition intellectually in a very intense way, but kind of have a hunger for some personal experience. They often study with Nyingma teachers to make that direct personal encounter with the Dharma that sometimes seems difficult to discern in the more complicated intellectual accounts of the tradition that you see amongst the philosophers. So those are a few comments about the Nyingma tradition, about its history and about its shape, and also about what it tells us about the tradition of Tibetan Buddhism more generally. Another school that's interesting to encounter is a school called the Kagyu school. The word Kagyu means teaching lineage, and it traces its origin to the Lama Marpa, who lived between the years 1012 and 1096. He was a Tibetan by birth, but he traveled to India and studied with Tantra teachers in the Tibetan monasteries. And he brought their texts back to Tibet to serve as the foundation of a new lineage. Now, as I mentioned at the end of my lecture on Buddhist Tantra, this word Lama in the Tibetan tradition is, of course, quite common. It's the equivalent of the Sanskrit word guru, which means a religious teacher, somebody who teaches you something, but also, in a sense, passes on a lineage of power and authority to you. The guru or the lama is particularly important in Tantra because the secrecy and danger of the Tantric tradition are always present, and it's important to receive a Tantric teaching, if you can, from a teacher who can tailor it effectively to you and help ward off some of the difficulties that might come if you misinterpret Tantric teachings and apply them in a dangerous way. Lamas are so important in Tibetan Buddhism that Tibetan Buddhism itself is sometimes referred to as Lamaism. I suspect this is a name actually that you've encountered if you run across Tibetan Buddhism, especially in some old-fashioned travelogues or literary texts. People often talk about Tibetan Lamaism. We don't use that term very much anymore, but the word expresses an important truth about Tibetan Buddhism, that it really does rely on the Lama, the teaching and personality of the Lama. In fact, you might say that in Tibetan Buddhism, the Lama is really not just the first person that you encounter in the teaching, but really stands in for you as if that Lama were the Buddha. I could say as if he were the Buddha, but there also are important female Lamas in Tibet too. So let's just say as if he or she were the Buddha sitting right in front of you. The Lama, in some sense, in a Tantric teaching at least, is an embodiment of the Buddha's presence.